I'm Patty Brennan. I am the CEO of Key Financial. We are a wealth management firm outside of Philadelphia in Westchester, Pennsylvania. About a year ago, I launched a podcast, and I think that what is resonating, people want to have another human being understanding not only the tactical, but also what does it really mean in terms of my life. It's called The Patty Brennan Show. It's easy to find. You can Google it. It's on all the major iTunes, Stitcher, Google.
I'm talking to you today not only about how this pandemic is a health crisis, but how it's also an economic crisis in a big way as well. And one of the things that amazed me was that you are not only a respected financial advisor, but you were at one time an ICU nurse at Lankenau, I believe, right? Your other life.
Yep.
How does that come in handy for the job you're doing now as a financial advisor?
A lot of people say, Patty, how in the world did you go from the ICU to become a financial planner? And while it does sound odd, a lot of the things that I did for patients are what I do for clients. And I think that the most important thing is that whether I'm taking care of a patient or a client is to understand how they might feel. This is a scary time. It's okay to feel that fear. It's scary for everybody because we really don't know for sure how long this is going to last and what it's going to mean economically. There are job layoffs left and right. People might have children in college. And the way that we thought about things in January or February of this year, we just have to think differently because things are going to be different. Different doesn't have to be bad. It's just different. And so what do we do under this new environment? Take a step back, 3 deep breaths. It is what it is. What am I going to do about it?
You're a hand holder in both occupations.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you're absolutely right. I think that at least in the unit, we were definitely that person that was at the bedside at all times. We had to understand everything about that patient. You know, you've got doctors and specialists who are coming in. They're looking at the heart. They're looking at the lungs. The nurse is the person who understands the patient. The other thing about being in the unit was knowing what was normal for that patient, say that there was an arrhythmia. I mm-hmm. knew that arrhythmia was not normal for that client. I don't have time to call a doctor. We had a protocol. We do A, B, and C, and we go ahead and implement that right away. It's knowing what to do and when to do it, because it is that moment that that patient's life is saved. I think from the nurse's perspective, during this crisis, it's recognizing that people don't really live in the long term. But I got to tell you, when stuff like this is happening, they're worried about tomorrow. And it's important to acknowledge that and understand that and to say, okay, here's what we're going to do today to make your tomorrow better.
I bet you're pretty good at assessing what a person's risk tolerance is. You hear a lot about risk tolerance, but mm-hmm. until you're lying awake at night, staring at the ceiling and thinking, oh my God, wringing your hands while you lie in bed.
Right. And to me, the most important thing is to recognize that. Most people really don't know what their risk tolerance is until they're actually in it. Especially when people like me use percentages, you know, if your portfolio fell 10%, how would that make you feel? You can't really relate to that. However, if you have $1 million and you lost 10%, that's $100,000. Now tell me how you're feeling. It's a whole different experience. And to me, the most important thing that we do is to stress test that individual ahead of time. I think there is a difference between risk tolerance, which is that emotional response, and risk capacity. Risk capacity is a powerful concept. It tells you that if it did happen, would you be in trouble?
Do you agree, though, that it seems like the stock market has no relation to what is going on in the rest of the world?
And that's not new. That is not new.
But it feels new.
It feels new because every time we watch and we read the newspaper, the economy is going down, unemployment is skyrocketing, the stock market has to go down. I don't know if you remember, but the stock market really plummeted and lost that 35 or 40% really before we had any economic data. The market is a leading indicator. So there's leading indicators and coincident and then lagging. So it's a leading indicator. It tends to do its thing 6 to 9 months before a perceived economic event. And by the way, it isn't always right. For example, in 2018, in the fourth quarter of 2018, the market lost 20%, and then it recovered right away. It was anticipating a recession that didn't occur. So there is that disconnect, and we have to try and step away and say, what does this really mean? Why is the market responding to this? It's random. Over short periods of time, the market is random. It's got a mind of its own. There are so many different factors. And we as human beings have demonstrated a tremendous capacity to get it wrong. We do understand that longer term, it does represent an asset class that provides growth over inflation and after taxes. And it's even more important, and I think probably one of the biggest reasons the market seems to be defying common sense right now, is because there's really no alternative. There's no alternative in terms of getting true growth on your money. You could put it in a money market account, but you're not going to earn anything on that. And we're going to be lucky if we get 2% on treasuries and bonds. Do you think that the next 10 years is going to be like the last 10 years? Because the things that worked in the last 10 years are probably not going to be the things that work in the next 10 years.
First, what do you mean by that?
In the last 10 years, the S&P 500 has been just the darling, like nothing could touch it. International stocks, fixed income. And I'm not saying that that's not going to happen. I'm just not sure it's going to be the same sectors and the same stocks. Back to the previous decade, what was the number one asset class? What was the big top company in the S&P 500? It was Exxon. And energy was the best asset class of the prior decade. Fast forward, it's one of the worst in this one. So we're all focusing on technology and healthcare. And I'm not making a prediction. I would just say it's important to remember the concept of diversification. That principle is so important now more than ever. Think about our tax planning. We've enjoyed a decade of very low income tax rates. And again, think about this crisis and the amount of money that the federal government has put into this in terms of a relief package. I got to tell you, Pat, we're going to have to pay for that one way or the other. And that's going to come in the form of higher tax rates. So listeners should think about that and say, okay, I'm in this tax bracket this year. And by the way, people who are retired, for example, those who may have had to take required minimum distributions, you don't have to take your RMD this year. There's a domino effect of every decision that we make.
You don't have to take it this year, you're saying.
You do not.
Because of the pandemic?
Correct.
Okay.
It's part of the CARES Act. People who are, whether it be those people who are 72 and older who have to take a certain percentage out of their retirement accounts, or they may have had an inherited IRA, you don't have to do that this year and pay the taxes on that money. And what happens for a lot of people is because of that decision, if they're living on other money, their tax bracket's going to fall dramatically.
Wow.
Think about it this way. All of a sudden, you go from a 25% tax bracket to a 12% tax bracket. Now you can look at your other stuff and say, wow, I'm in a 12% tax bracket. I know I'm a nerd. You know,
that's why
I wear
I'm talking
the
to you today. You have a podcast that you mentioned at the top of the interview, and you've been saying that those who recently retired are the lucky ones. Can you explain a little bit about that?
The people who recently retired are the lucky ones because they made a proactive choice. They were able to think about it ahead of time, hopefully run their numbers, get a good understanding of what it's going to look like when that paycheck stops and how they were going to replace it. Those people are so lucky because that thing that happens in all of us, which is, oh my goodness, we have a pandemic. Markets are crashing. The economy is crashing. What am I going to do? They don't really necessarily have that because they already knew in advance how they were going to replace their income. I also think that just from a career perspective, they don't have to worry about going back into work. People who are retired don't have to think about, oh my goodness, they've laid off half of the workforce.
Yes.
That means I've got to go back in and I'm going to be doing double or triple the work. So I think that they are actually lucky. There's always a silver lining to these things. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard this, Pat. There's a concept that we use called the red zone. The red zone is referred to the 5 years before retirement to the 5 years after retirement. Those 10 years, the decisions that you make during that 10 years will ultimately determine the standard of living for the rest of your life. It's a really important period of time.
The red zone. I was in the red zone. I didn't even know it. But what about people who, Patty, are in the red zone in the 5 years before retirement and they're looking at the numbers and thinking, oh boy.
I think the most important thing I would say to those people is to remember that these times, at least historically, and I do believe certainly in this case, this is temporary. So yeah. Don't change your plans because of what's happening now. We really don't know what the future is. And Pat, that's nothing new. We never know. In fact, I will tell you, we go in to every day of every year assuming that the next awful bear market is beginning today. I've just written a white paper on the 10 reasons why I do not believe we will ever go into another depression. I feel very strongly about that. As much as we might be hearing it, as much as people are projecting out and saying unemployment hasn't been this high since the depression, and the data is going to be awful. It really is. So please, anybody who's listening today, just be aware it's going to be ugly. It does not mean that we're going into a depression, okay?
Well, Patty, you've given us so much to think about. If somebody wants to read about what you think mm-hmm. about avoiding a depression, or if they'd like to get more information on Key Financial and on you, what would they do?
Just simply Google keyfinancialinc.com. You need the INC. So it's Key is the thing that unlocks the door, financialinc.com. And then go on the website. The podcasts are there. We're all in this together. We're going to get through this. And anything that I can do or say to help people through a really difficult period of time, that's why I'm here. That's what really jazzes me up, to be able to do something like that.